half sheet is a response form for Vision 18. We've been praying the month of January, prayer and fast. God, give us your direction. Give us wisdom on what it looks like for 2018 in where we can focus some of our energies and relationships. So that came about, and the result of that prayer and all of you responding in the elders' question, what are you seeing, what are you sensing God is saying to us? The results are on your green half sheet there. Family ministries, youth ministries, or connections, excuse me, family connections, youth connections, and community connections. And if you sense God is leading you in investing in one of those areas, please check that area, write your name on there. If you have questions about what this looks like, ask a question. You have space at the bottom to do that. But let me just clarify a little bit here. So February, we're working on building teams. In March, those teams are going to then begin dreaming. What does it look like in that particular area of ministry to bless it, to improve it, to perhaps launch something brand new? And so the teams are going to be working together and developing these. The elders, myself, we're not here to say, here's what you have to do by any means. No, God is going to tell us what it looks like. You already have ideas of what these areas of ministry can be like. Dream. And so if the team, for example, Family Connections team, says we're going to be doing this kind of ministry, and we would love some of you to be involved in that. Not that you're going to be on the team and have to be real highly committed to it, but you're going to be committed to doing something to help an event, for example, and say, yes, I can help with that event, and be involved in God moving in and through Athena Christian Church. So please fill that out if you're ready. We have one more week before we close out letting you respond to the ministries here on that sheet. And if you do respond today, just put it in the offering tray, and I will get those and collate them. So, all right. Starting a new sermon series today. And really, in talking about keeping our vision alive, we need to keep it in focus throughout the year. The theme of our vision is, as soon as I get my little presenter out here, is love demonstrated. It is on. Is it working? You hear that? Love demonstrated. Now it will work. No, you're it, Kayla. Maybe I have a dead battery. Okay, so love demonstrated. Why this theme? Out of all the themes we could choose, love demonstrated. Well, love demonstrated is how God operates all the time. Is that right? Do you think that's correct? God loves, operates out of love. So our theme, our theme verse this year, Romans 5:8. Say it with me. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, the us doesn't include just this church. It includes the entire world. God died for everyone. And our job as church then is to take the love demonstrated to us and now demonstrate it to others so they can go, oh, that's what forgiveness looks like. Oh, that's what not being invisible looks like. Oh, that's what being noticed is. Oh, that's what this particular scripture means. Love demonstrated. See, we're not just receivers of love, we're givers of love too. Which is easier for you, giving or receiving love? Giving, yeah. Most of us, it's giving. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll give all day. But you know, we got to receive too. It's hard to give love out of an empty bucket for very long. And if you try to do that, it'll turn to resentment instead of love. Got to give some more. All this love I have to give him. I don't know. He loves me. Turn to someone near you and say, demonstrating God's love matters. Say that to them. Okay. That's right. It does matter. Take a minute and talk with those around you on this topic. How has your life been influenced for the better because God demonstrated his love to you? For you. Now remember, that love may have come through Scripture, it may have come through people, it may have come through events, places, all the above. Talk about that. How has God's demonstrated love influenced you for the better? Go ahead and talk about that. Just quickly, throw out an answer or two. How has God's love being demonstrated to you influenced your life for the better? Being raised in a family where God was important. Priority.
My wife.
Your wife. Say more about your wife.
My wife is God's
gift. Your wife is God's gift to you. Okay, everybody say. That's nice. Yeah. Oh. God demonstrates his love all the time. He's working at it. Kayla?
Freedom from worry.
Love that we allow to penetrate replaces fear. It does. Very good. Well, I've titled these messages, Fix Your Focus. Fix Your Focus, because there are many factors in life you cannot control. Have you figured that out yet? There's a lot of factors in life you cannot control, but the one thing you can control is where you place your focus. So let's begin with some wisdom of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through chapter 7, verse 8. Starting in Matthew 6, verse 31. So, Jesus starts out. This is the Matthew 5, 6, and 7 passage is called the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Jerusalem overlooking the Temple Mount, Mount of Olives, Jesus is preaching from here. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, or people who do not believe in Jesus, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. Turn to somebody and said, he knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things and all these things. I don't think we see that well enough. And all these things. In verse 33. Will be given to you as well. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, Jesus. We know that, yes. Thank you. Chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and do not pay attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces as well. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Oh, man. Jesus, really? That's not always been my experience. How do we settle that statement? It's okay to question that. God, help me, help me. I want to know how you do this. For everyone who seeks, for everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Well, there's probably 12 messages in this one passage. We're only going to do 6 of them today. Why is this scripture important? Why is this one important? Because here Jesus reveals the greatest cure for the most damaging relationship virus in the world. Worry. Worry is a virus. It will spread. Have you ever said to someone else, I'm so worried about, and pretty soon they're worried too? When you worry about getting needs met, whether for you or for someone else, you've already begun. Now pay attention. Here it is. Watch this. When you begin worrying about needs being met in some way, you've already begun distancing yourself from the provider, distrusting the one who can provide it. Worry automatically starts moving us away from the one who can provide. What if this? What if that? You shift your trust from the one who provides to the one who needs. Worry says to God, you are either unable or not willing to supply what is needed, so I'll figure out how to provide it myself. And therein lies a huge problem. Because that's when we go into the C word, control mode. We go into control mode. God, I don't think you can handle this one. I got it. I've already planned this out. I've spent 3 sleepless nights figuring out how to do this. We go into control mode. Let's unpack even more of this rich wisdom that permeates Jesus' words. Verse 31 says, do not worry. The word worry in Greek means to be scattered in your spirit or to be anxious. Anxiety pulls your mind in several directions at the same time. Anxiety and worry means that you're not sure which voice or which option is best. Have you ever gone around not trusting your own voice and said, here's my situation, what do you think? Oh, here's my situation, what do you think? And what do you think? And I'm looking for somebody that will tell me which is best, and I got 3 answers that are all good. I don't know which one to still choose. This is what James calls being double-minded in chapter 1, and you end up trying every solution but not sticking with any of them. And you go around, oh, what's that squirrel cage thing called? Squirrel cage thing. The wheel. Oh no, the wheel. And you get on the wheel and you go, which choice, which visit, which choice did I make? I don't know. That's a good one, but I don't know, maybe it's not the right one. And we go and we go till we're just exhausted. Double-minded. Can't settle on one thing. I remember in my counseling training back in late 90s, my counselor said, Delbert, you have two issues you're working with. Yeah? What are they? I don't know. Tell me. I thought there was more than two. I feel pretty good. She said, you're not a finisher, and you don't trust your own decision-making. And I said, oh, you hit the nail on the head. I'm not a finisher because, oh, this looks like a good choice. And I start doing this one, and then I look over there and see that one. And I finish nothing. And I still find myself sometimes in my office doing that. I'm working on one thing, and I look over, see a piece of paper about something else that's going on. And go, oh, yeah, I should. No, I'm a finisher. I have to catch myself. Maybe you find yourself doing that too. No, I'm going to finish this first because Jesus teaches me to be a finisher because Jesus was a finisher. Learn to trust your own voice, Delbert. But what if? Stop the what ifs. God has given you a brain. Use it. Make one choice, one, and stick with it. Oh, okay. Scared to death. Breaking through fear. See, we've got to push through fear. Do not worry. If we go a little earlier in the reading of Do Not Worry in Matthew 6, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, yet the Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you to him than they? Verse 32, your Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. People next to you may be troubled. They may be troubled by things they can't control. So just remind them, God knows what you need. Say that to your neighbor. Okay. Now say it with this kind of emphasis. Okay, ready? Here we go. God knows, say it, what you need. Say it again. God knows what you need. Now use your preacher voice. God knows what you need. See? You feel better already, don't you? Woo-hoo! Yeah. So let's practice. Let's practice saying this truth about God. Say it with me one more time. God knows what. Okay, now let's make it personal. God knows what I need. Yeah. Okay, so. Guy with the mic on the street. So what do you say, Rod, when you don't have enough money?
God knows what I need. Pretty good. God knows what I need.
God knows what I need. What do you say when the Joneses, not Cindy, when they seemingly have, you know, everything they touch turns to money and they just doesn't seem to, and you struggle for, what do you say?
I'm content.
Amen. I am content. Translated, my Father knows. He knows. What do you say when you have enough finances for this month, but you're not sure about next month?
God knows what I need.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you a tremendous, powerful truth. Tremendous, powerful truth. Too often we think these things, but we don't say them. Brothers and sisters, your ears need to hear what your mouth is saying. You're driving down the road and you're worrying about something and you remember God's word. You say, oh, God, you know what I need. Now, keep your eyes open, though. Don't close your eyes. God, you know what I need. I'm choosing to trust you. I'm choosing to trust you. God, you know what I need. I've got to say it out loud because it's a form of confession, confessing truth, and perhaps even confessing sin. God, I'm worrying, and worry takes my trust off of you and puts it onto me. I'll figure this out. How many times have you figured things out and wished you hadn't? Yeah, me too. When you say it and pray it out loud, your spouse, your kids, your friends, maybe your boss, your doctor, see you choosing to trust God's voice and trust Him as your provider. Kayla and I just went to a funeral. 53-year-old friend of ours in Boise died of cancer. Struggled with it 4 years, battled with it. Kurt Landreth was his name. And Kurt was 18 when I was 24. Our freshman year at Boise Bible College, both singing on the singing group, touring all over the Northwest. And Kurt was a very mischievous boy. And there were days when I really liked him, and there were days when I didn't. And because he was so mischievous. But you know what? Kurt was one of those kids where you just couldn't help to love him. The pastor in his message yesterday said this about Kurt. Kurt didn't spend 4 years worrying about the day he was going to die, because he knew he was going to die. Kurt said, I'm going to live as if I'm never going to die. What if we lived that way? What would that do to worry? If we said, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to choose to live as if I'm never going to die. By the way, Christian, isn't that the truth? You're going to live this physical life. We're going to leave these troubled bodies, these diseased bodies of ours, these bodies that age, and we're going to get a new heaven, a new earth, a new body, Scripture says, and live forever with our Father God in heaven. See, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to start believing you're going to live forever. Let's start right now, shall we? So worry keeps your mind captured. Oh, excuse me. When you say it and pray it out loud, your spouse, your kids, your friends hear you choosing it. Worry pulls your alignment with God's values out of whack. Sometimes when we what we believe is a lack of provision on God's part is actually a lack of priorities on ours. Let me say that again. What we believe is a lack of provision on God's part is really a lack of provision on our part. Excuse me, a lack of priorities on our part. Because we're not seeking God first. Worry makes you travel through life and relationships, well, like this. Let's have some lights off over here, can we please? Got a quick little video clip for you. Worry does this to you.
There's something horribly wrong with the truck behind us. How is it?
Where is he going?
What is it?
Oh.
It's so terrifying. It looks like it's just gliding.
There's something horribly wrong with the truck.
So, worry will make you road. Go ahead, lights, please. Worry will make you go down the road sideways. It will. It'll change your whole perspective. Worry keeps your mind captured and cluttered by things you cannot. What is the C word? Control. It will keep your mind cluttered and captured by things you cannot control anyway. Remind your neighbor, God knows what you need. So how can you tell if your priorities are out of whack or out of alignment with His purposes? Here's one big clue. Is your mind being pulled in different directions because you don't know which voice to listen to? worry pulls us away from God's love that says, I'm with you. Worry pulls us away from trusting God's provision that says, I have what you need. Worry pulls us away from trusting God's timing that says, I know when to give it. 2 weeks ago, we established that the cross is proof that God loves you. Remember the turnaround theme? Jeff was here holding the cross. There were several people up here, and they were facing away from the cross because they were worried about things. They got their attention pulled off. And you said to them, those two words, what were they? Turn around. Oh, yeah. Oh, the cross. That reminds me of God's love for me. That's right. I get recentered and get reestablished in God's love for me. Worry pulls us away from those things. There's a song titled, He Didn't Bring Us This Far to Leave Us. Anybody know who made that popular? The Imperials. Back in, 70s. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't make his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Powerful. God didn't build his home in you to leave you. Satan is good at what he does. If he can get your eyes off of that, that truth, we start to forget. Do not worry. God has you. He's got you. What's the evidence that you are trusting God as your provider? That you are trusting him as your provider? Verse 33, Matthew 6, 33. Seek first God's values. Seek first God's values. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about, he will provide to you as well. God says, when you align my heart, your heart with my heart and my plans, your plans with my purposes, I will supply what I know you need. Sometimes we think best, don't we? God, I know what I need. I hope you're in line with me. God knows what you need. Did you see it? God will supply the things he knows you need. Answer these questions out loud. Does God know your situation? Is it too hard for him to handle? Does he have a plan that will mature your faith? Has he been faithful to supply your needs according to his timing so far? That's why you trust him. Why does God supply your need in his timing? Because God is holy, and he will not be treated as your personal vending machine. How do you feel when the only time somebody comes to you is when they want something from you? Why does God supply your needs in his timing? Because God sees the full movie of your life when you see just 30 seconds of it. He knows that supplying your needs in his timing will not only meet a physical or emotional need, but will also deepen your faith and strengthen your character in his likeness. That's why God meets needs for us. Yes, he loves us, but we stop too short when he meets a need. We say, God, thank you for meeting my need. I needed this moment. Thank you so much for that. And he goes, that's not the only reason I met it. I wanted to deepen your character in Christ-likeness. That's why I waited till this moment to give it to you, not this moment. Because if I gave it here where you wanted it, you wouldn't have been able to handle it. You would have taken something good and holy that I'd given you, and you would have veered off, maybe into pride, and say, look what I got. Look what my God gave to me. And you would not have been humble in it. I waited until you're humble, your heart was humbled enough to receive it that way. Let's trust his timing, shall we? Let's trust his timing. How do you know when you've lost your focus on God's purpose? Well, chapter 7 gives us another clue. By the way, verse 1 in chapter 7 is what people who are sinning and become defensive about. They become defensive when someone who cares enough to bring it to their attention, they say this, verse 1, "Do not judge, or you will be judged." You ever said that to somebody, or at least thought it? Who are you to tell me what's going wrong in my life? That's not why Matthew wrote this verse. Let's read verses 1 through 8 again. Chapter 7, 1 through 8. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you will you judge others, you will be judged, but with the measure you use, it will also be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take this speck out of your eye,' while all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to swine. Brothers and sisters, some of you today say, 'I'm not worth much.' And you give away the sacredness of your heart to someone else who doesn't cherish it." Young people, young men, young women here today, I encourage you, don't let some guy or some girl who promises you, "Oh, I'll love you forever," without having that person prove it first. Take some time. Otherwise, you could very well purpose, without intentionally doing this, you end up throwing what is sacred that God had given you. It's sacred to Him. And He says, "This is what you are to me," and you give it to someone who tramples it. Let your focus be first on Christ. "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." By the way, if you take the ask, seek, and knock, the first letter of those three, A-S-K, "For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." The problem with a breakdown in a relationship is usually not a loss of love, but a loss of focus. Most of us are pretty good at loving, giving, but we lose our focus. Instead of love giving and receiving and having a balance of those, we can get off on something I want and think we've gone a wrong direction. I'll just change this marriage for another one. I'll just change this for that. And off we go because we lost focus. Not because we lost love, we lost focus. This is also why a church fails in God's purpose. It loses its focus on what God cares about. Regaining our focus in relationship with people and in our purpose as a church means realigning what we care about with what God cares about. Seek first His values, and all these things you need will fall into their proper perspective and their proper timing. God's way. When was the last time you taken your car to the shop for a realignment? You know, you think about, "Oh, it looks like a tire's wearing, or it's kind of steering kind of funny. I'll take it to the shop and have it realignment." When you have the wheels of your car realigned, you're making sure that the wheels that are following, the rear wheels, are following exactly in the path of the front wheels. When your heart cares about what God cares about, your heart is following in the exact path of God's heart. Alignment. That's called fixing your focus. In Matthew 6, 31, 33, "Seek first God's values." Seek God's values first. What does that look like? You know, we could spend a year in training on that. What does it look like to seek God first? above all other things. I love to do things I need. Seek first. You know how you seek first? I can say it in two words. Slow down. We move too fast. We skip over things that are important in God's word, shooting for what we think we need to have right now. Notice how these two verses of Matthew 6, seek God's values first, and Matthew 7, verse 8, ask, seek, and knock, and he will provide. Notice how these two passages are like bookends. In between them is evidence of what being out of focus of God's purpose looks like. These bookend verses reveal how to get back into focus. The front bookend, Matthew 6, reveals that the front wheels, that is God directing his purpose on earth. The back bookend, Matthew 7, represents the rear wheels, you choosing to adjust your attitudes and actions so that they serve his purpose, to care about what he cares about. In this scripture, God also gives us two indicators that we're out of alignment with his values. One, we worry because we believe God may not provide, or at least I think more accurately, God may not provide in the way we would provide what we need. Another clue we are out of alignment with God's values is that we start finding fault in other people while ignoring to address our own faults. By the way, usually what we find as a fault in others is what we already don't like about ourselves. You see, we demand of others what we secretly demand of ourselves. We condemn in others what we secretly condemn in ourselves. You shouldn't be doing that. That's bad.
Because I do it too, and I hate it.
Throughout Vision 18, we're asking God to help us care about what he cares about. Is there room in your life for some improvement, some alignment? Are we as a church willing to make adjustments, no matter how insignificant they may seem to us at the moment? Caring about what God cares about begins fixing our focus on his values. Where are you today? Do you worry about God might not provide the needs you would in how you would provide them? Are you emphasizing fault in others and minimizing your own? The next couple of sermons we're going to be working on will show us how to get back into alignment with God. You know what that means? Peace. It means peace in your life. It means a confident focus. So let's respond to God today. In your sermon outline, this is here printed for you. Take this home and do this. Read Matthew 6, 25 through chapter 7, verse 8, three times this week. Start letting it soak in. And then begin your realignment journey. What are you worrying about? Take some inventory. What are some things you worry about? What things are you quick to judge in others? Now, your sermon outline has a few more scriptures for further study and reading. It also has some questions for you to help you bring out some answers to these really deep questions. What am I worrying about? Where am I judging others but not myself? Brothers and sisters, the solution to worry is God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Will we trust him? Let's keep learning how to do that deeper and deeper, shall we? Let's stand together and sing this powerful song of trust in God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider.